It sounds like our concert outside has stopped also, so I won't bother mentioning who it was whose vehicles were going on. No, it's good to be here. It's good as we continue on this journey through our Lenten series in which we're looking at what it means to love the Lord our God heart and soul, right? We that's our desire, is to love God with all of who we are. Sometimes our acts do not always describe how much we love our God. Sometimes we do things that whether or not we realize it, is actually harmful to our relationship with our God. And that's what I want to spend some time talking a little bit about this morning. Chuck Swindoll is a popular author. He speaks to a lot of groups. And one day he was speaking to a group of pastors, and he told them about a man who was mountain climbing in the Sierra Mountains of California. And he was climbing up, and he was pulling himself up on this ledge, and as he pulled himself up, he came face to face with a rattlesnake. You know, he heard the rattles going, and before he knew it, all of a sudden the snake kind of struck at him. He was able to move just enough, so it went right by his face, but it caught its fangs in the pullover sweater that he was wearing. And of course, nature just kind of took over. He immediately reached his hand out, grabbed the snake on the back of the head. When he did that, he lost his grip and went sliding down the mountain and finally came to rest on this one level. But he never did let go of the snake. He just hung on to it and he squeezed as hard as he could. And this climber says that he could feel the hot venom going down his neck. That's creepy, isn't it? Yeah, but he was scared to let go, so he kept squeezing until he felt like the snake was not really moving much, and then he got it loose, and what he discovered is he was squeezing it so hard, his fingers kind of locked up around the snake, so he couldn't let it go. So he went back down the mountains, went back to where his friends were, and they had to help pry his fingers off of the snake until he finally let it go. Chuck Swindoll told this group of young ministers this story, and then he looked around at them and he said these words. He says, "There are some of you fellas right here who are feeling the hot venom on your neck right now. You've played with sin and it's about to take you down." And I read that, and I go, man, how appropriate or how common can that be even for us? You know, as much as we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul, there are those times, aren't there, that we have to deal with temptation. And you can name your own temptation. But there's times that we deal with that temptation, and we find ourselves so close to stepping over that line. And making a mistake, committing that sin, doing something that we know hurts our relationship with God and with each other. But the question is, how can we handle the temptations that come along? And what do we do if we do step over that line and commit a sin? The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church in Corinth, he addressed some of these very same things. And so that's why I was taking some time to look at this morning. If you got your Bibles, let me invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read together verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. And let me invite you to stand with me for the reading and hearing of God's Word. "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play.' We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example. And they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated this morning. So what Paul was doing, he was trying to get something through to us. He was trying to help us to understand that being a follower of Jesus Christ does not exempt us from sin. Did you hear that? Being a follower of Jesus Christ does not exempt us from sin, nor from temptation. He was reminding them about their ancestors, from the Israelites who came out of Egypt as Moses led them. He reminded them how it was these Israelites that trusted God, and God opened up the sea for them to pass through. And then when they were hungry and they cried out, God provided them something to eat. And when they were thirsty and cried out, God provided something for them to drink. And then in times, God even provided his own son, Jesus Christ. He says, look at your ancestors. Even them, even though they were in the presence of God, they saw God at work, they still faced temptation. And they still failed and gave in to that temptation. And they sinned. In fact, one time as the Israelites were gathered, they left Egypt and they were hanging around Mount Sinai. Moses went up, was spending time with God. And while he was up with God, the people began to get nervous because they didn't know where he was. And so they started pulling their gold together and they melted down the gold. If you remember the story, and they made this image, this golden calf. And so when Moses finally came down off the mountain, he found that the people were worshiping this idol. He became angry because he knew that God was angry. These people who've been trusting God, these people who saw how God was at work. And as soon as Moses was gone, they began to worry. And so they fell astray. I wonder how many times it is in our lives when even though we've been so close to our God that we've struggled and we've struggled and we've given in to that temptation that comes our way. I don't know if you heard about the two mountain boys who one day they were out walking around, they looked up in a tree and they spotted a bobcat. And they decided to have a little fun. One of the boys says, listen, this is what we're going to do. He says, I'm going to climb up that tree, and I'm going to go out to that limb. I'm going to shake that limb real hard, and I'm going to make that bobcat fall. And as it comes down, you're to grab it behind its neck and then put it into the bag that you got. And the other guy says, okay. And so that's what happened. So the first guy climbed up, shook the limb. Of course, the bobcat fell. The other guy grabbed it about his neck, and all of a sudden, you just heard all this awful screaming. The bobcat was squealing, the guy was squealing, there were leaves flying, there was dust kicking up all over the place. And the boy up in the tree says, what happened? Can't you catch that little bobcat? The guy down below says, catching him is no problem. The problem's trying to turn him loose. You know, and that's kind of the way it is when we're faced temptation. All of us face this temptation. It's easy. Fall into sin. It can be a lot tougher to let it go. None of us are exempt. Even us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we are not exempt. That's why Paul says to watch out. He says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. If you think you are standing firm, watch out. You do not fall. When Paul was writing to followers of Jesus Christ, Paul was writing to people much like us who kind of left the old way behind, who came and were baptized and opened up their hearts and their lives and says, God, I give you my all. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I give you my life. Take it and use it. And when he says to them who are followers of Christ, he says the same thing to us. But yet we are still tempted. Some of you are old enough to remember Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. Do y'all remember Jim and Tammy Faye? Yeah, some of y'all are so young, you don't know, have any idea who they are. And you're probably better off not knowing they are. Jim and Tammy Faye, they were these television evangelists, so to speak. And they built an empire. I mean, they had so much. They started this little theme park up in the Carolinas. You know, they had so much money. Life was going great for a while. But then Jim gave in to temptation with another woman. He also gave in to the temptation of greed. And soon he found himself bankrupt, and he was standing before the judge at his bankruptcy hearing. And after the hearing, the judge says this about Jim Baker. He says, that fellow was very religious. He could accomplish no end of all the good that he could have done. But he did not recognize the temptation of greed. He thought his success was God's blessing. It was in reality the devil's temptation. Man, you know, I read that and I go, oh, how true it is in many of our lives that there seems to be a fine line between God's blessing and the devil's temptation. And what Satan will do a lot of times is come into those areas that we feel like God is blessing us with. And he says, well, how about a little bit more? How about a little bit more? How about a little bit more? And that temptation is to want to have a little bit more. It doesn't have to be money. You can fill in the blank, whatever that temptation may be. In the church in Corinth, when Paul was writing to them, they were dealing with this kind of stuff. They were dealing with a group of people that believed that the earthly body, the flesh, so to speak, is evil. And it was the spirit that was good. And so that's why they struggle with the resurrection of Jesus. Because they go, how could Jesus be resurrected? Because the body is evil. The body is bad. And so they struggled with that. But it also gave them an excuse. Because whenever they were tempted to do something, then they would say, well, you know, if the body's evil, then I really can't help myself. And if the body's evil, then what harm does it do? So they gave in to the temptation and they gave in to the sin that came along their ways. That's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, was trying to warn them against. That's the same thing he tries to warn us against. That it's very easy to cross that line from going to a temptation for it to become a sin in our lives. Remember, there are 7 deadly sins, 1 for each day of the week. So what Paul would say is watch out, watch out, watch out. And sometimes we think, so if we sin, is it a big deal? Because we know that God always forgives us. Well, it still is a big deal. It still is a big deal. Cynthia Wall was at a convention once, and she was there at breakfast in a cafe, and she kind of found herself eavesdropping on a conversation between these 2 older men, gray hair older men, and one of them looked at his buddy and says, you know, this is the first convention we've been to in 40 years without our wives. And that kind of piqued Cynthia's interest, and she was wondering where this conversation was going to go, where it was going to lead to. And the other says, yeah, I know, 40 years. We can do whatever we want to on this trip. And he looked at the menu and says, so let's order biscuits and gravy. You know, it's great. It's great if that's all that it is, isn't it? Let's just have biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy may not lead some of you into sin. Maybe biscuits and gravy might lead some of you into sin. But there are temptations that come along. And if you're not careful, It can destroy your health. It can destroy your relationships. It can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your family. It can destroy your standing in the community. Eventually, it can destroy your soul. So when Paul says, watch out, that's what he was referring to. And that's what it says to us today, watch out. And some of us kind of want to go right along with the excuse, well, I'm only human, aren't I? Paul would say, no, you're not just human. You have the Holy Spirit of the living God living within you. And that spirit that's living within you can help prevent you from stepping over that line if you rely on him. Did you catch what Paul said? He says, no testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure. God has provided a way out. And that way out is when we stay connected to our God. That way out is when we continue to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul. That way out is when we surround ourselves with other believers in Jesus Christ and that we can go to and say, you know, I'm really struggling in this area. I'm being tempted. And you'll have a support around you to help you during that time of temptation. See, God will provide a way out if we let God provide a way out. Because what sin wants to do, it wants to separate us from our God. What sin wants to do, it wants to separate us from other believers who are there to help us. Y'all know this. When you find yourselves doing something that you know is wrong and that you shouldn't be doing, what do? You find yourself kind of separating, don't you? Because you're ashamed. See, sin thrives in the dark. But what happens when we confess it? And we acknowledge it before our God, then it brings it out of that darkness and into the light. And there in the light, God can help us deal with it. In fact, 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Did you catch what he says? If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive us. Because in reality, none of us set out to destroy our lives. Ken Crockett, in his 911 handbook, puts it this way. He says, the alcoholic never dreamed that he would end up in the gutter when he took his first drink. But he could remember saying, one drink will never hurt me. The man who cheated on his wife never dreamed that he would lose his wife and children because of yielding for one fleeting moment. But he could remember thinking, who will ever know? The fish who took the bait never dreamed that there was a hook on the inside of it and he would end up in the frying pan. But he couldn't see the man standing on the shore with the fishing pole at the other end of the line. I like that. But see, in reality, we don't see that temptation, what it can lead to. And we don't see that there's Satan on that shoreline just kind of dangling it out in front of us and seeing if we're going to take that bait. And once we take it, we're hooked. And it can lead to destruction. See, God sees that. The God who created us knows what our temptations are. The God who created us knows what our faults are. The God who created us says that he will be with us even during those times of temptation. So listen, folks. Are we tempted? Yes. Yes, we all are. So during those times of temptation, that's our clue is to draw closer to our God, to rely on him, to depend on him, rely on each other, to your group, to your small group, to your Sunday school class. Rely on them. And then when you do, and if you do, stumble and you sin, then confess. Bring it out of the darkness into the light. And our God, who we go and confess to, is faithful to forgive us of all our sins and make us anew. Amen. All right, let's pray together. Most Heavenly Father, as we come knowing that you are a good and faithful God, knowing that you promised to be with us. So, Father, that's what we ask. We ask that you will come and you will be with us. During the times of temptation, help us to rely on your Spirit that lives within us, to rely on you. And during the times that we may sin and fall, let us come repenting, confessing what we've done to you, knowing that you'll forgive us, but knowing that you'll also look at us and say, go and sin no more. So come and give us your strength, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of discipleship this morning is hymn number 348, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. If you'd like to become part of this community of faith, we invite you to come as we sing. Let us stand as we sing this morning.
Let us sing 1 verses 1.